So what were the other students like to you when you were pregnant and you went back to school?
They were okay. I just kept to myself. I just ignored their remarks and, yeah.
So it must have been a great day when you finished the course.
It was.
Finished year 10.
Yes, it really was. It was very stressful. But I'm glad that I did it because it encouraged the other kids to go through. And I believe that I set a good example for a lot of other kids because some of the parents named their kids after me, which was good, and yeah.
And what did you think when you saw that beautiful little baby when she was born?
That it was all worth it. Yeah, I wouldn't have done it any other way, yeah.
And her dad? Who was her dad? Who is her dad?
Her dad was Arthur Kirby.
And you didn't decide to stay with him?
No, because, yeah, he wasn't a very good man.
So what did you do when you left school? What did you choose to do?
I started work. They set up a Save the Children Fund preschool at Murrum Bridge, and I went and applied for a job there as like supervisor of the other workers, which I got, and I used to take Narelle with me to work. Even the boss she was a lovely person. Her name was Mrs. Goodfellow, and her husband was the Sergeant Goodfellow in at Lake Angelica.
So they were policeman. Well named.
Yeah. And she was a lovely person. She helped me. She used to even give my daughter, Narelle, a bottle, you know, feed her and change her for me. But, yeah, it was great. It was good that I could take her to work with me. And then
And you enjoyed that work?
Yeah, I did. I was the first person to work there at that school and at the preschool. And then what happened was I moved into town. No, what happened? That's right, I went away to Swan Hill. I met another partner and I went to Swan Hill. Stayed there for a while and it didn't work out. And I had three children to him.
And who were those kids?
That was Elvis James, Michelle Louise and Beatrice.
And what were they like as little tackers?
Oh, they were good. They were really good kids, but pretty headstrong, like their mother, I suppose. But, yeah, things didn't work out in Swan Hill, so I had to come back to the mission, which I didn't really want to do because I wanted a better life for my kids. But anyways, what happened was I stayed with Dad and them for a while, and then I got a flat in town, straight across from the Turner's pub, and I ended up being good friends with the person that owned the publican that owned the pub. Her name was Mrs. Turner.
And that was in Lake Angelica?
In Lake Angelica, yeah. And what happened was my place was like a sort of a drop-in centre for everyone. Yeah, if they couldn't get a ride home at night, they'd stay there, or they got too drunk, they couldn't drive, they'd stay there, or babysitting place, you know. Anyways, what happened was I went and applied for a job. I asked for some voluntary work at the convent school in Lake Angelica. Went up there and asked for a job, and they gave me some part-time work, voluntary work, and then they put me on permanent full-time job as a teacher's, Aboriginal teacher's aide. This was in 19, Super League 2, I think it was.
And did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I enjoyed that, and yeah, it was great. And I sort of broke the ice, you know, for other Aboriginal people to get jobs in the town. But the nuns were excellent. They were great. And we had to walk a fair way to the school, me and the kids, and my youngest one used to go to the preschool at Murrumbury. They'd pick her up, and we had to walk to work, to school.
How far was that?
Oh, it was a fair way down the road, yeah. That end of town. But anyways, I worked there for a while, and what happened was what I used to do was I used to get the kids off the bus from Murrum Bridge. Some of them used to come there without any, you know, hungry and dirty, and you know, the clothes weren't the right clothes. And the nuns used to get me to take them into the nunnery, we had one of those old chip eaters. They had one of them old chip eaters in a bathtub. I used to make the fire and light the fire in the chip eater and fill the tub up with warm water for them and take them in there and give them a bath and put uniforms on them. And yeah, and I had to clean the air, you know, and put stuff in the air, you know, flea stuff and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And even the boys I had to do, you know, wash them and stuff. Anyways, and then they'd be all, you know, give them shoes, polished up shoes and socks. And the nuns wanted them to be, look the same as the other kids, the white kids. And then they'd go into the class and they'd be all dressed up, you know, same as other kids. And then I'd get the clothes and I'd wash them and hang them on the line and iron them for them. And then when school finished, they'd come up to the nunnery. I'd take them up to the nunnery and wash their other clothes and put them back on and put them on the bus. But, you know, that was part of my job. But they used to let me teach in the school. Sometimes they'd get me to run the classes, you know, teach in the classroom.
Did you like teaching?
Oh, I loved it, yeah.
How many years were you there for?
Oh, about a couple of years, I think.
And then where did you go?
Then what happened was I went to... I met another person... And I had two more children. I moved to... before that, I used to work also at the pub, the Turner's pub, for Mrs. Turner. I used to work there on weekends. Or sometimes on the weekend, I used to cook the meals for her kids and do that washing and ironing just for extra money. And I used to sometimes clean the room when the cleaner used to turn up. So I had two jobs, yeah. But then I met someone else and I was offered a house in... there was a new scheme was happening where they wanted to move people off the mission, you know, and give them new houses in Wagga. And I ended up getting one of those houses and I moved to Wagga.
That's a big move.
Oh, look, we were so naive. I was so naive. I'm still a bit naive in many ways. But coming off that mission, a whole new world, you know, we sort of went into. And I just, we didn't know about drugs and alcohol and all that sort of stuff. And we lived a very sheltered, humble life, very simple life.
And what was it hard?
It was hard, but I managed. I was very determined, well, a bit all the racism and all that. And it's trying to adjust to that way of life. You know, it was so different.
And you had more children?
Yeah, I had two boys.
What were their names?
Calvin and Shane. But I had Shane, my husband. We got married, my husband, he worked on construction work and we on pipelines.
What was his name?
Joseph O'Donnell. We got married in Wyong. And,
Was that a great day?
Not really. We just married to give the boys a name.
You didn't have a big party?
No, we just went to the registry office just to give the boys a name.
And did the kids all get along well?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So how many kids at that stage did you have?
I had six kids.
And they all got on very well?
Three girls and three boys. Oh yes, because, you know, I'm their mother. Like, I mean, the mother is the main person in a family. Not the man, it's the mother. Because you know where your mother comes from, but you don't know where your father comes from. Like, I mean, you know who your mother is because she carries you for 9 months. But you don't know who your father is, really, when you think about it.
And so how long were you in Wagga for?
Oh, I wasn't there long. Because he wanted me to travel with him, I mean the kids to travel with him on construction work. So we moved to Goulburn, Caravan Park. Stayed there for a while and we went to Newcastle because the pipeline from Sydney to Newcastle. And we moved around a fair bit. My kids were in about 26 different schools. But I made sure that they didn't miss out on the education because to me that was the most important thing.
And did they enjoy school?
Yeah, they enjoyed school. They've been in 26 different schools. But they adjusted.
And did they follow in their mum's footsteps? Did they go on to do any other courses? Or?
Yeah, they did. But what happened was I always brought them up the way I was brought up, and that was the way Mum brought me up, was you treat people the way that you want them to treat you, and to respect people, you know, and their ways and what they think. And even if you see someone in the gutter, you pick them up and you help them, you know, you don't walk past your mom.
And what do they do now, the kids?
Yeah, they like me.
What jobs are they in?
My daughter, she's followed in my footsteps. She works at the Boronga Public School teaching.
What's her name?
Betsy Norell. And my one of my sons, Shane, he's going through a bad time. Like, he suffers from PTSD because my husband was a very cruel man. Their father, very cruel. And he put us through hell, but that's another story. And my eldest son, he hung himself in 1993 because of my husband. That's another story.
It's very hard, a very sad story.
Yeah, very sad. And but we managed to get through it, and yeah.
And what do the others do?
Well, my two of my daughters, she keeps getting into oral relationships, the two daughters. But they still survive, you know, they still...
Are you good friends? Do you see a lot of each other?
Yeah, I'm always... Look, what I say to people is it doesn't matter what your children, how they turn out or what they do, you still always have to be there to support them. That doesn't matter whether they're in the wrong or not. You still have to support them, but you don't condone what they do if it's bad stuff. But you still have to be there to support them, and I've always been there for my children.
And out of all the jobs you've had in your life, which ones did you enjoy the most?
The ones that were most rewarding is teaching.
And do you do any teaching now?
No, but I do a lot of community work, and I'm involved in a lot of community stuff. But I've worked most of my life. I was a hostel manager. And I've worked in schools. I've worked in 10 schools as a ACLO, Aboriginal Community Liaison Officer. I've worked all over the place, yeah.
And you showed me a lovely photo of a Koori course that you started. Where was that?
Oh, I worked at Mildura Central School in the 1990s. And a lot of the kids now that I taught, they got kids of their own. And they...
And did you start a Koori program there?
Yes, I set up the ASPA program. The parent support group, Aboriginal support group, and I got Mungo put into the curriculum there at the Mildura Central School with Marty Smith. He was a teacher at the time, and the principal, Barry Burns. And, which was great. I'm really proud of it. And also a lot of other programs I started up there, like the bike program, where we bought bikes for the kids and the teachers taught them out the bike rules and, you know, rules of the road and all that sort of stuff. And, a lot of different things I set up at the school in Mildura.
So when I'm driving around Mildura and see kids flying around on their bikes, it might be your fault.
Yeah.
And is there anything else you've shared, some very sad but very happy moments of your life? And Mungo, the return of Mungo is obviously a great time for you, and it's still going. You were going to a meeting this afternoon to talk about the old station building being used for research out there. So it's ongoing. There'll always be a lot of work about the Mungo story, won't there? So is there anything else you'd like to say to conclude this interview?
Well, there's a lot of stuff that I would still like to say. I feel that I've missed out on saying a lot of stuff I really wanted to say, but maybe I could do another interview. Later on.
Come back, yeah.
And, yeah. I've travelled all over Australia. I lived all over Australia, some beautiful places, me and my kids and husband. But I always wasn't settled. I was always lost. I felt that I didn't belong and I needed to come back home, on country. And I done that.
So back home is Pooncarey?
Yeah, and I'm back at home now in country in Pooncarey. That's on my great-great-grandmother's side. And I'm on the AAG at Mungo on my great-great-grandfather's side. So, yeah, I'm back on country and I'm trying to do the best I can to, help everyone, not just our family, but, yeah. I believe in still about caring and sharing for each other. I still believe in that. There's a lot of people that don't. The money, the greed has taken control of a lot of people. But I'm glad that it hasn't happened to me.
And you've achieved a lot.
I've achieved a lot.
A lot more to do at Mungo National Park.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go away. I'm still going to be there until the day I die. I'm going to be there to make sure that, the right thing happens out at Mungo.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your story on behalf of the New South Wales State Library. It's going to be a great addition to the library collection. Thank you.